I need time alone. If I'm with people too much, I am not the best version of me. I'm exhausted. And so it's taking those pockets of time that we're talking about and maximizing them. Like, how do we refill in those times so that when we do show up and we're with, you know, people or family, we're the best version of ourselves because we're filled, and so we can be present.
You're listening to the Famous at Home podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, the podcast formerly known as In This Together.
Kind of like Prince, but not.
We're now in this together, helping you be famous at home so you can thrive on your stage.
Every one of us has a stage, and no matter the stage we show up on, we all feel the stress of work, travel, and just plain busyness. Unfortunately, it's our loved ones under our own roof who often get our leftovers.
But what if we didn't have to choose between work and our family? Research shows the more connected we are to our spouse and kids, the more influence
and fun
we have on our respective stage.
So when your tires hit that driveway, keep in mind, the greatest red carpet you'll ever walk is through your front door.
You are famous at home. Welcome back to the Famous at Home podcast. It is officially peppermint mocha time. And I think for all of us who've been waiting for this day, this season, it is upon us. I know there's like so much controversy before Thanksgiving about like, is this, you know, to decorate, not to decorate, but like we're in it now, folks. And I'm so excited because it really is the most wonderful time of the year. So that's what we're going to talk about today, but we're going to talk about it, like keeping it the most wonderful time of the year. Because as young families, I think we all find the busyness of the season is, you know, we talk about this a lot, right? It can be a lot. It can be difficult. But beyond that, it becomes very social. And I say this to the introverts listening. I say this to the parents of introverts, or maybe you're noticing, you know, when we're surrounded by family and we're going from event to event, your kids are melting down. They're having a hard time. They're disobeying. I think you almost find, even we like find, it's almost like you feel disconnected from one another and from your kids because you're just surrounded by people all the time going from thing to thing. And so that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about really self-care for ourselves, for our marriages, and like for the just maintaining that relationship with our kids and their emotional and spiritual health, as well as ours through a busy holiday season. How do we do that? Because we talk about a lot about boundaries and how we can set those and setting good rhythms and patterns just for our families, but also for like our personal lives, for our health, that we are actually soaking in the joy of the season and we're not just enduring it. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I think sometimes we just have to go along with what's expected, or maybe what family traditions or, you know, expectations come, that's travel, et cetera, et cetera. Especially when you're navigating multiple families in the mix, right? With how many of what four Christmases, not in our family now, but a lot of families do, you know, navigate that. And we've been there. And so how do we do this well? And that's what we want to talk about today.
Well, and I think it comes down to being present. Right? Like that's what we're talking about. Like if we're talking about being famous at home, presence is everything. How do I truly be present with my loved ones? How do I be present with my kids? How do I show up? And we talked
as the best version of yourself, not this like resentful, like oh, I have to be here. Right. And I hate, like, I would rather be at home alone watching Hallmark movies.
And I think just practically speaking, there's two things that I have learned, and we can talk about this and discuss it a little bit more in detail, but two things that I've learned about my own self, through therapy, and Christy, this is a big one for us. You know, it's often that you're trying to navigate in a loving way. It's not that you don't want to spend time with certain people or that you don't, but it's easy to have so many things at the holidays. You've got your kids' Christmas, right, you know, programs at school. You've got your own family connections, right? And excuse me, by the way, today, because I'm fighting a cold. So if I'm sounding a little bit nasally, that's what's going on. But
it sounds remarkably better than it did.
Well, and maybe I sound remarkably better as a podcast host.
Yeah, it's like
with a cold.
Yeah, what is that? Is it the State Farm commercials that sound like that?
Are you in good hands?
Are you in good hands?
Hey, you could do that well.
Are you in good hands? Well, so, anyway,
that was less.
Back to the topic at hand. We have so many things pulling for our schedule, and when we survey parents, a lot of it goes without saying. Even a survey we recently sent out to many of you who are on our email list, and if you're not, we'll put it in the show notes to connect to our email list. We put a survey out that we asked you, you know, what's your greatest parenting struggle? Over and over and over again, it the consistent thing that comes up is there's not enough time, mm-hmm. or how do we get more time in a day? And you're not going to get more time in a day. But the reality is you have 168 hours in a week. And if you were to sit down and you were to start writing out the number of hours, what you do in a week, go ahead and sit down and do it. Just sit down and, you know, you got how many hours a night do you sleep, right? So let's just say you sleep, you know, 8 hours a night, you know, 8 times 7, that's 56 hours out of your 168, you know, and then you look at like how many you work, you know, if you work 40 hours a week, now you're at, 98 hours out of your 168. And
you're pretty good at math.
But you realize 168 minus 98, you still got 70 more hours of...
living.
Of things that you're doing.
Living to do.
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, and you realize there's so many hours in our day that we're actually either wasting or not being intentional about.
Yeah.
I really challenge you to go ahead and do that exercise. Sit down and start putting your hours. And I think what you end up finding is you're not over 168 hours with what you can think of. And so what do you do with that extra 10, 20 hours that you haven't had? So it's important we have those hours. We have all of these things. So in other words, be intentional with that time.
And I think that's what we're talking about, because when we're showing up at these events, right? So say it's Christmas, say it's, you know, Christmas Eve, like, you know, thinking through ahead of time, like what we have on, like what will require a lot of us. And for the extroverts, maybe that's not true. I'm really on that like introvert extrovert line. So I do both and I can resonate with both. Does that make sense? You know, but I need time alone. If I'm with people too much, I am not the best version of me. I'm exhausted. And so it's taking those pockets of time that we're talking about and maximizing them. Like, how do we refill in those times so that when we do show up and we're with, you know, people or family, we're the best version of ourselves because we're filled, and so we can be present.
Well, and one of the things that I want to encourage you guys to do too, because this requires that you and your spouse are on the same page. If you're married and you're listening, and you're married, you've got to be on the same page with this. You've got to be able to have conversation about it. You've got to be able to connect and really plan. I mean, to really manage your time well, to manage your own life well, to feel like you have, you're present and you're thriving, it takes a plan. And so you've got to be intentional about it. So, you know, sit down with your spouse, look at the calendar this month and say, you know, what are we saying yes to? What are we not saying yes to? Christy and I were literally just doing this morning. Because here's one of the things that we learned through therapy is that no is a complete sentence.
I love that line.
And it's so difficult though, because people will ask you to do something and you feel like you have to say no because I'm sick. No because I have this going on. No because I have that. No because of this. No. And it's like we have to fill in excuses when the reality is no can be a complete sentence. Recovering codependents feel like we have to make an excuse for everything.
Like, I think we just need a second to let that sink in. No is a complete sentence. Like, almost the relief. If you are like anything like I am, I mean, I think I've spent my whole life feeling like I have to justify for other people why I'm not meeting an expectation of theirs. And I realized it is a weird codependency thing. It's also, I think often you're picking up this passive aggressive thing where you feel like in order to be approved of or liked by them and remain in their, you know, in their affection and good graces. Yeah. That you have to do what they're asking you to do, or not even what they're asking you, what you think they expect of you, right? Because often I think it's our own preconceived idea. But how can we start to let that go?
Well, like, how can we tell you the second thing I've learned about myself. So first of all, that no is a complete sentence and it's okay to say no. But secondly, I tend to build up in my head, I think we all do this, when we have to say no to something or we want to say no to something, it's easy to build up in our heads that it's going to go worse when we say no than what it actually is.
Ooh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about that.
And most people are incredibly gracious and understand that you have to say no. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, that speaks more about them than it probably does about you.
And maybe starts to reveal parts of them and their character that maybe...
Or not even character, but just insecurities. You know, like things
I hear you.
You know.
But that should start to alert us that, like, is this a relationship I want to maintain? Is this one that requires more boundaries?
Am I in this relationship out of guilt?
Yeah.
Or am I in this relationship because of freedom and it really is life-giving?
Yep.
You know, and again, we're thinking of, I think in a lot of cases, we're thinking more friendships here, because a lot of times with family, you're going to have that dynamic with certain family members and you're still going to end up being with them or needing to be with them anyway.
You can
just choose how much time you want to spend with them and what that looks like.
And that's where you get in conversations about boundaries and, you know, how to navigate those, because those are different situations where you have to, they're not ones that you can necessarily sever.
Right.
Or that would be wise to sever. Like, it's not.
You still want to honor those people.
But, exactly.
Well, and I think the key is, though, is, and we found this in our own lives, the more we actually set boundaries and we share our boundaries with other people, people just come to accept those boundaries. Mm-hmm. And they find ways to have life-giving relationship with you in a way that respects their boundaries and your own. And then it's like, it's just, but if you don't know who you are as a family, if you don't know what your boundaries are, nobody, you're not going to be able to communicate your boundaries to anybody else because you don't know what they are. So what you're communicating is we're just wide open. We're going to spend time with whoever we want. And, you know, it's just going to be what it is. So you have to be very clear. And again, I'm going to reiterate this. You and your spouse have to be, this really requires, number one, that you know yourself. I think, you know, we tend to get this place of, you know, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. And you might have heard me say this speaking or wherever. I talk about this quite a bit, that we have to love ourselves. And we have to know ourselves well. And if we don't know ourselves well, we're not going to know our kids well. We're not going to know our spouse well. We're not going to be able to enter into their story very well. And James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. What ends up happening is we're not quick to listen. We're slow to listen. We're quick to speak and we're quick to become angry because our kids and our spouse aren't acting the way we want them to act.
Yeah.
Because we want them to be present with people when the reality is they're probably overtaxed and they need to go to their room for a little while, read a book, do something by themselves to regain energy. And then the whole family will be back to normal again. But we have to pay attention to that in ourselves and then also pay attention to that with each other. So I encourage you with your spouse, sit down together and say, hey, what is it that will bring me life this Christmas season? And this goes beyond Christmas. Like, this is life. These are life principles. You know, what brings me life and what brings you life and how can I champion that? So I'm looking at Christy right now and I ask her, what brings you life and how can I champion your heart in that? What decisions can I make? Where can we go? What can we do? How much time is spent with just the family, our family, the four of us, versus how much time are we getting with everybody else too? Mm-hmm. And there's a balance there. We love our family, but
like love them so much.
We love them so much, but at the same time too much is too much at times. Doesn't matter how much you love each other. Christy, when we first got married, we realized that there were so many decisions we had to make for our family, especially when our children came along, and we had to make decisions based upon what we thought other people expected of us, what society expected of us, what the culture around us was imposing on us, that we found ourselves running ragged, frantic, too busy, and realizing we were doing things that we didn't even like or that our kids didn't like.
And that's why this January we are launching our first online course to help you find your family's purpose, called Your Family Purpose, a step-by-step guide to establishing your family vision and values.
That's right. It is the year 2020. Get it? 2020 vision. We want to help you establish that 2020 vision for your family so that you're not running ragged, that you're not running frantic. And in this course, it is an online course that you will go through at your own pace, and we'll be there to help hold you accountable along that journey with different quizzes and different activities within the course. You'll have videos from yours truly, and you will also be able to navigate by the end of this journey. You'll be able to know your family's values, your vision, and you'll be able to start making major decisions as well as minor decisions based upon those values, leading intentionally and confidently for your family. Check the show notes and famousathome.com because pre-orders are on right now.
We want 2020 to be the year that you establish your family's vision, values, and your purpose. We cannot wait to do this with you in 2020. And I think you start to realize even for your kids, it gets to be too much. And like, and just to put like practicalities to this, because it can sound, you know, and not that our example or like what we've decided to do necessarily fits with your family, but just, you know, to help put like an example in your face. Like we decided, we've been with family. There's a section where we're with family for like almost 2 weeks, which is a long time. Some people would like lose their minds. Anyway, we have a time where we're with family for 2 weeks, and then we'd be going to see another other set of family. It would have been right away. And so what we decided to do was actually schedule in 2 days between them, where it was just our little family that got away for 2 days in between, just to reconnect. And that was something, again, just looking at the calendar and knowing ourselves, it was like, we need time just to reconnect again, reconnect with one another, our kids, just to, you know, sit in whatever peace looks like with young kids, but with just it's just different. Well, you know, when it's just your family, all the dynamics change, mm-hmm. and you can reconnect with your kids again. And in the span of those 2 weeks together too, like we do real intentional things where like Josh gets away to the gym, I will get away and like read or go to a coffee shop or take a bath or something where I'm just by myself. I will do things where I'll pull one kid, you know, into a room and like we'll just have mother-daughter time or mother-son time, or I'll take, you know, one of the kids plus a cousin and just go out on a little date. Like just things where it changes the dynamic, and it's sort of just a refilling for everybody, because you change the people involved, and it changes the environment, the situation, what you talk about. Like it just opens people up, I think, in different ways. So those are just different ways that we try to look at it or try to be intentional, so we're not losing our minds by the end and snapping, and because we've done that before too.
Well, and the same, thank you for bringing those practical pieces out, because I think they're incredibly important as it relates to, we spend 2 weeks at a time at Christmas with our family. And we do that because we don't live near each other. I mean, there's some people, we have friends who are like 3 day limit. That's it. 3 day limit, right. You know, with family. And I get that. I totally get that. If you see your family on a regular basis, if you see your family, you know, you might
or there's just certain dynamics that just,
And you may even live close by where, you know, you're doing dinner together or whatever that looks like over the holidays. Regardless, like we do it the way we do it because of our schedules, and we don't live near each other. And with the work that we all do, with many of us traveling on a regular basis throughout, the year, it's hard for us to connect. So we make the most that we can. And this goes back to, you know, the famous at home idea here. We make the most that we can to be famous at home with one another. Like our kids look to their aunt and uncle as like a second set of parents. Mm-hmm. And we don't even live near them. We live thousands of miles away from them. And yet at the same time, we spend enough time and we are so intentional about that time. But you have to talk about it. You have to talk about it with each other. You have to talk about it with them. And like Christy said, I noticed even this morning, my daughter is missing me. So I need to make sure that I get time with her, even with people being here. Mm-hmm. Because... you can tell when your kids are missing you. Mm-hmm. And you want to pay attention to that.
And I think that's it. It's just the awareness to be at, pay attention to it. And then, and not to feel like, oh, see, here we go again. Like, this is such a failure. This is like this. Everyone's got to go home. This is terrible. No, just in this, in that, it's just, what do you call an audible?
An audible, right?
Yeah. In your football terms.
That's right.
Right? You just call an audible and it's like, hey, I'm going to take Kennedy on a date today, you know, and great. Like, I think we just start to pivot and adjust. And I think the healthier we get in our relationships and in our, even our self-awareness of ourselves, we get quicker at it. And so things don't get spiral out of control as fast. And we can start having those conversations like with, you know, with my family, we've done this enough. We do this a few times a year. And so where we are together for extended periods of time, again, because we don't live near one another. So we've gotten pretty good at talking about these things because we just know, like, we just know each other. And we also recognize, like, every human needs space and time, and they need time as a family, and we need time as a family, and marriages need time, and kids need time with mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, or, you know, and it's just being sensitive to that and aware of that. And you can see when people start to feel off and short-tempered, and it's like, hey, do you want to like get away and go, you know, shopping for a couple hours or go to a coffee shop or something like that. But to be, again, self-aware, but also others aware, right? This is where we start to see like empathy, where we can step into the shoes of another person and recognize like maybe what's coming at us is because they're not handling the situation super well, and they may not have the tools to be able to articulate what's bothering them or the awareness that it is until it's, you know, too late. And so I would just, I highly encourage us all to just start to pay attention to those cues in our kids and our spouse and ourselves and the ones we love around us this season, because I just think it's going to set us all up for such a happier, like relationally healthier celebration, that it's actually something we enjoy, not something we endure.
And I would encourage you to give each other grace through this process. As Christy said, we've been doing this for years with her family and connecting with my family. And a lot of it is trial and error, and you just have to figure it out. And you have to be open with one another and say, this is what I, be willing to say, this is what we need. And hear from other people of what they need as well, and receive that.
And can I just go back and say, we spent a lot of years in the beginning with, like, I don't want to say like total failures, but years where it was like, that was so bad. Like, we shouldn't, like, where we went from spending, you know, like it was like a week and a half with one family, literally drove to the next family and we were with them for the next like week and a half. It was
where,
like,
we were doing two different families at the same time.
And traveling to two different places with young kids. Like, we did it. I'm not saying we did it wrong. We were just
trying.
We didn't know what we didn't know. Yeah. And so,
well, and not only that too, I mean, again, in certain circumstances, this was a point I wanted to bring up actually. So I'm glad you brought this up. There's also situations too, like my dad's health was not well during those seasons. Mm-hmm. And the only way my dad would have seen our kids at Christmas was for us to get our kids there. And in addition to that, then we were going to Christy's family, which was only 8 hours away. Only with two little kids. So we were doing both at the same time.
After we'd driven like 24, yeah.
After we've driven 24 hours. And so
we were, you know, dumb. Oh my word.
We really pushed it in those early years. And, you know, now we're at a place where we are, we're making better decisions about it, healthier decisions for everybody. And I think everybody would agree that, you know, things are, you know, we're doing it differently, we're doing it better. But again, that's taking trial and error. I want to take that back also to your everyday. So for instance, you know, Christy and I are even talking about, you know, we're going to see Michael W. Smith Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
You're excited about that. So,
like, okay, let me just, Michael W. Smith and Christmas are like synonymous in our house. Like, that music means Christmas. I can't listen to it until like a certain time, like certain day. Because it just, like, that means Christmas is here. Oh, it's so good.
And now we're
going to
see him live. So we got a date night coming up. Yeah.
He happens to live here, which is great. So, but he has a Christmas concert with the full Nashville Symphony.
Yeah, we're going to be excited.
Guys, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to cry. I'm totally going to cry. I'm so excited.
And so, okay, so there's certain things that we've planned. And then there's things with Christmas. I don't know how, I don't know what you call friends Christmas. I don't know what they call that. I know like Friendsgiving or whatever, but there.
I have never heard Christmas, but I
just figured I'd call
kind
it.
Kind of like
know,
it.
Christmas. I don't know. Anyway, friends and Christmas.
Babe,
and,
I like it. Christmas.
So Christy and I are talking about like, because again, it can get overwhelming, but at the same time too, there's memories that just, you. It might be an event that you're just like, oh, I don't really want to go do that. Or, you know, it just, you know, you're, but, you know, one spouse is like, oh, I just don't want to do that. But you know that once you do, mm-hmm. it will create a memory
yeah.
that you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad we did that. Think through those things too, because there are things at the holidays that we're just like, I don't really want to do that. Or, you know, that seems exhausting. When the reality is it might seem exhausting to plan it or to get, just to get out the door. Or to find a babysitter, but you know that when you do it afterwards, it will have been life-giving and created a memory.
Totally.
Like, pursue those things, especially if you're traveling a lot. You know, your spouse travels a lot. You guys don't get to see each other when it's not the holidays. You know, so you make the most of the time that you do have together. And for those of you who don't have your spouse during the holidays, where one is traveling, first of all, we just want to just acknowledge you right now and just say how difficult that can be. We know the holidays are not always fun, are not fun for everybody. And we just want to make sure that we acknowledge that. And we encourage you to take care of you during this time and do everything you can to create memories with your kids, with loved ones, with family, with those around you. And then even creating memories with one another, whether it's through FaceTime or connecting, you know, via screen. Find ways that you can connect with one another through that. Because I work a lot with military and families who are currently deployed right now. And so find ways to really connect with one another, mm-hmm. whether it's sending presents and cards. We've seen a number of different ways like that really allow you to be able to connect and are meaningful over the holidays. So we just wanted to acknowledge that.
We talk about social media, but I would just highly encourage all of us to stay away from it as much as we can through this season. I think it's so easy to get in this comparison thing where you see all these like sweet family photos or like perfect moments that have, you know, obviously totally been edited and filtered and whatever. But, and it's like we, in our conscious brain, I guess we recognize that, but unconsciously we still feel like, see, like our Christmas, like this sucks in comparison. This is not like, look at what they're doing. Look at their family. Oh, look where they got to go. And it just doesn't help any of us at all. And I think then the concern about like what we're posting and what we're showing and blah, blah, blah. I just think just to be super aware, I have a friend and I who are both kind of just doing not a fast from social media in per se that we're not on it at all, but just that we're getting on it like a couple times a week, just less. And trying to hold each other accountable to that because it just makes healthier versions of us, we've realized. Because it's I think some people can get away and not really care. I don't understand, but bless you. Like, that's awesome. But it matters. It affects me. And I wish it didn't, but it does. And so I just have to be aware of that for myself. And so even setting those boundaries in place, like your traditions and how, like the experience, the like, everything you do, the cookie making, the, you know, Christmas Eve services, like all the stuff where you see people and they're matching Christmas jammies and it's adorable and that's great. It's just, it doesn't help the rest of us who are watching and are like, well, that's like, look at what we're sitting around watching another Hallmark movie. Like, and you, it's just that less than, it's always less than, you always feel less than.
That's why your values and setting who you are and sitting down and having a plan in place that, you know, this is what our family wants to accomplish. This is who we want to be. This is what we want to do this Christmas season. And you're confident in that. You're walking confidently in that. You can look at what other people are doing and you can celebrate what they're doing, not mourning what you're not doing.
Yeah. That's well said.
Let's celebrate other people.
Stay off social media. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying.
Or set limits on it.
Yeah.
Practically speaking, one of the things we do is not do an hour before bedtime, an hour right when you wake up in the morning. You know, spend time with the Lord, spend time planning, spend time praying, meditating, do what you need to do to
being present, just like soaking in. Like sometimes I just like to sit and stare at our Christmas tree because it's just so, I don't like, it's just, you're just there.
It grounds you.
It does. There's a grounding. Yeah. And there's something about that, that
grounding helps you stay present.
Breach.
Yeah. It helps you stay present in the moment. Helps you stay present with your kids.
Mm-hmm. Which is something we're going to be talking about more in the new year. Mm. You know, being present, like how we can do that better, because I think that's actually a practice that we have as a society just have become terrible at. And it's something that I think, just think that's where the joy comes back in our life. So we're going to talk about more of that in the new year, but for now, let's start trying.
For now, we want to continue to get through the holidays here. We want you to do it well. We want you to be famous at home well. And so jump on Instagram at Famous at Home. Keep us posted on how you're doing these holiday. We'd love to hear from you. You know, post on Facebook, on Instagram. We'll put some...
Stay away from social media, but hop on there and post things.
Or send us emails. You can go to famoushome.com/podcast. You can submit a question or a topic. And use that link as a way to tell us how you're spending the holidays and tips that are working for you. And we'll jump on here and talk about them and how you guys are doing. Like, we'd love to hear from you and how you're doing.
Because we totally, like, I don't, like, I hope you guys do the same thing. When you watch people around you or other, you know, and you're like, oh, I love how they do that. Like, I love how they, like, that's where we've learned so much.
The community's everything.
Is by watching other friends and you just pick, like, it's like cherry picking the best team.
Speaking of community.
Oh, I love how they do this. I love how they do that. We need to implement this.
And Speaking of community, I just want to say 2020, be on the lookout because Famous at Home has amazing community opportunity in the future. Something we're working on behind the scenes that we're going to just kind of let a little bit of the cat out of the bag right now. But be on the lookout because we're going to be teasing this over the next number of weeks and launching something that will build this community in a way that we're excited about, where we can learn from one another. So, and it's not just about our stories, it's about all of your stories. And that's what we're excited about.
Yes.
So until next week, we want you to remember to keep in mind that as those tires hit the driveway, the greatest red carpet you will ever walk is through your front door.
You are famous at home. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Famous at Home podcast. If anything we said today hit home with you or resonated in such a way you want to share it with others, go find us on Instagram at Famous at Home and comment, share, tell others about today's episode.
We'd also love if you would leave us a review. Reviews mean so much to us and they also help other people find out about the podcast. So if you could leave us a review, we would appreciate it.
You can also visit famousathome.com/podcast to submit a question or topic for a future episode.
And for coaching or speaking inquiries for your family or your organization, visit famousathome.com. We would love to serve you.
Because the greatest red carpet you'll ever walk is through your front door.